This program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, and this is the January/February 2020 edition. On the cover of this edition is Halima Aden, and she is a refugee turned supermodel. So we may not get enough time to go over her story in January, but stay tuned for February. So let's go ahead and get started. The Over-Explainer. This is the first article, and it's titled Black Legacy. Black media must be protected at all costs. So growing up, I couldn't get enough of the series Living Single, especially Queen Latifah's character, Khadija James. I imagined her fictionalized life as a black magazine maven living in Brooklyn as my future. And when I got my hands on copies of Essence, Ebony, and Jet, I became obsessed. Virtually every page in Essence was filled with pictures of black women, and its legacy was built for and maintained by black women. It let me know then and now that black people had stories worth telling. For 10-year-old Danielle, Essence was the beginning of me understanding my worth as a black woman. We don't ask permission where we have authority, says Mickey Taylor, who worked at Essence for 30 years, serving as beauty and cover director and later as editor at large. The magazine's longevity lies in the mix of voices at the table, she explains. Those voices continue to shape our ever-evolving culture. Building and maintaining a legacy isn't light work, especially when black legacies carry double the responsibility in today's insta-cancel culture. With information and images increasingly becoming byproducts of the need for immediate gratification, a brand's strength, once a solid thing, is now too often based on trending topics and hashtags, making it difficult for it to survive. Black Americans, since the middle of the last century, was auctioned off in July for $30 million. Apologies. So Ebony and Jet magazines, which includes more than 4 million prints and negatives documenting the lives a black American since the middle of the last century, was auctioned off in July for $30 million. Again, I'll say for $30 million. Four foundations, the Ford Foundation, the J. Paul Getty Trust, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation came together to save the archive and agreed to donate it to the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture and the Getty Research Institute, that the archive will be protected in heartening news. But it's still not the same thing as being a living, breathing part of daily black culture, which brings me back to the necessity of black media brands. They allow us to own our unfolding narratives. Black legacy media are rooted in our histories while also shaping our futures. As a dreaming 10-year-old thumbing through worn Essence editions during my mom's hair appointments, I began to grasp the proud history of black women, to understand the contours of my community, and to imagine my own future within it. Readers connect with the stories and images within black publications, finding comfort and familiarity in the magazine's very existence. Indeed, each issue is a testament to black survival. The pages hold up mirrors to our blackness and our black womanness, not only shifting the culture, but also responding to and honoring it, gifting us back to ourselves. 25 years ago, if I could have whispered into the ear of my 10-year-old self and told her that she'd one day work at Essence as a producer, writer, and host, I'm not sure that little girl would have believed it. I didn't know what a legacy was back then, but but I am fully aware now that I get to be a part of a glorious one. There aren't many black women who haven't been touched by Essence or Ebony's influence on the culture. But now we've moved into a new era, one that demands an even wider representation of who we are and gives voice to the many extraordinary ways in which black womanhood has continued to evolve. And this was beautifully written by Danielle Young in the Overexplainer. And again, she is a editorial producer for Essence Magazine. So let's go on to another article. This is from the Wealth section, and it's called The B Word. It eats away at your mind, body, and finances. Here's how to avoid burnout. When Tiana Clark, a 35-year-old poet and creative writing instructor in Nashville, came across an article about workplace burnout, she immediately related to the problem of pushing herself to the point of physical exhaustion. But she felt the article ignored the specific plight of black women. I see so many of us take on so many extra roles, Clark says. Everyone's tired and overworked and underpaid. That's just reality. Clark was inspired to start a Twitter thread on the subject and penned an essay pointing out that many sisters don't think we have the option to lessen our numbers of tasks at the job. For Clark, the constant pressure of teaching full-time while hustling to make 2 or 3 book tour appearances a week had led to migraines, which eventually landed her in the emergency room. I wasn't taking care of myself, she says. My body was just like, you physically have to stop. You cannot do this anymore. The experience taught Clark that the quest to be a superwoman is killing us, and workplace burnout can no longer be ignored. The troubling symptoms. The syndrome is the result of compounded stress, as Ebony Dennis, a clinical psychologist in Washington, D.C., while it is not an official medical condition, in May 2019, the World Health Organization classified burnout as an occupational phenomenon. That ensues from chronic workplace stress that has not been managed effectively. Feelings of exhaustion, negativity, and cynicism about your place of employ, as well as decreased proficiency, are all signs. A 2018 study by Gallup found that about 2/3 of employees experience burnout. When your job stresses you out all the time, you feel like a caged bird, notes Stephanie Chick, a San Diego-based professional coach. You may feel trapped in a never-ending cycle of on-the-clock responsibility, but you may also be burning the candle at both ends, trying to hold things down at home too. The reason we're often in this position is because we haven't created any pause in our life, says Chick. We're just on fast forward all the time. The money factor. Burnout can definitely affect your mind, body, and spirit, but it can also affect your finances. Feeling overworked and overwhelmed can lead to a toxic behavior, says Nicole Garner Scott, a financial coach who divides her time between Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Atlanta. Instead of focusing on what you need to save for that down payment, you're just trying to figure out how to make it through the day. I can't even wrap my mind around dreams when I am just trying to get out of the bed, says Scott. You may also be likely to splurge on the nails or the wine or the clothes because they make me feel good in the moment, Scott adds. And that's just another way the condition can sabotage long-term financial success. It zaps your creativity, Scott notes, and your creativity is where money is made. Some basic boundaries are being pulled in 10 different directions at work. It might be time to set some limits. Here's how. So remember your value. State your needs clearly. There's a huge cost to the organization if it fails to address your needs because it risks losing top talent. Be ready to barter. Let your supervisors know how helping you helps them. You might say to your boss, I can complete A, B, and C, but I need to get out of here on Thursdays early. Put the ball in your manager's court. Sometimes your boss isn't aware of your workload. Instead of quietly trying to perform a superhuman feat, speak up and ask which task is the priority. So moving beyond burnout, exhausted, the first step toward changing your situation is acknowledging you are pushing yourself to the brink. While it may not be possible to avoid perpetual stress, we have a few ways to handle it. Number one, change your mindset. Remember yourself that your needs are just as important as everyone else's. We're always trying to look out for others and be the perfect team player, but we don't realize that we are part of the team, Chick says. Taking care of yourself not only improves your life, but it also makes life better for everyone. Number two, practice self-care. Therapy, meditation, exercise, good sex, deep breathing, all these activities can help to reduce physical stress, says Dennis. Also, be attentive to your diet. Drink plenty of water and surround yourself with nurturing relationships. There are always be stuff you can't control, so take the reins on everything that you can, says Dennis. Number three, ask for support. If you can't cut back at work, see if you can reduce chores at home. For example, Chick does most of the cooking in her family. But she told her husband that because of professional demands, there are going to be some days when I just can't do that for you. But I'll let you know early enough so you can figure out how to fend for yourself. And number four, take time off. Be intentional about your days off, says Dennis. Use your free hours to disconnect from the daily demands of a busy life and social media. So often you're burnt out because you didn't even take advantage of the time out you have, Chick says. The key is paying attention to how you're feeling and recognizing when you need to pull back. Use your body as a barometer, says Chick, that headache, back pain, or feeling of not being accepted is sounding the alarm that something is out of balance. If we pay attention to those signals early and course correct, then we won't ever have to reach a state of burnout, says Chick. So moving on to another article, and this is from the Solve section. How can I make long-distance love work? It can be challenging to stay close to your bae when you have to live far apart. So we found a woman who can relate to share how she and her hubby navigate the miles. Sometimes couples end up having to love each other from different cities. If your hearts are one, but your zip codes are not, holding on to the intimacy and connection you share can become an even bigger hurdle in your relationship than the physical distance. You know you've got a good time going or a good thing going, and you want to make it work. But how? Newlywed Danielle Cadet, managing editor of Refinery 29's Unbothered, feels your pain. She was living in Washington, D.C. nearly 2 years into a successful relationship with her now husband when she was offered her dream job in New York City. He told her to go for it, even though he's a lawyer and couldn't just pack up and leave. Cadet took the job, and now they spend half the month living apart while she splits her time between two cities. We asked her how to break down how they're making love work long distance. Essence's question to her is, after you took the job, did you two set rules to make sure you stayed connected while apart? And Danielle's response is, the first rule was that as long as he's home, he always walks me to the train on Monday morning to see me off. It's such a beautiful, tender moment before the stress starts. The second rule was making sure that we check in with each other. My days can get really busy. I would call him when I'm in a cab or on my way home, and we're not really connecting because I'm exhausted. He's like, How was your day? I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it. So that was the second rule. No, let's talk about it. Tell me about your day. Let's make sure we're not just waiting till the end of the day when we have no energy left for each other. I don't want to be giving you leftovers. You shouldn't be scrapping the plate. I should be giving you a full meal. Did you have to set boundaries at work to allow more time for balance? We give so much of ourselves and we forget to give back to ourselves sometimes. Just out of the gate, I was like, whenever you need me here, I'm here. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, let me set some boundaries. I started this job in October 2018 and we got engaged in November. Because I'm very used to just work, I had to figure out that I needed to be intentional about my relationship. I said to my colleagues, there are going to be some weeks I'm not here. So let's figure out video conferences. Here's access to my calendar so you know where I am. When I wasn't there, I had a lot of guilt, but then I realized I wasn't applying that to my relationship. We also have had to get on a schedule so we could know when I'd be home, and it makes it so much easier. I'm guessing date nights are a must now, too. We were absolutely that couple who were very smug and date nights. We were like, we don't need to do that. We love each other. Now we make sure to set a time. When we were doing our premarital counseling, there were things that we talked about that we had previously been too busy to sit down and share. He said, I need to know what I'm going to see you or when I'm going to see you. I need to know that I'm going to spend time with you. And when he communicated that, I was like, you know what? I know we joke about date night, but we actually really need one. Any other realistic advice for women who are in your shoes? Accept the fact that you may fail, but you just don't get back on it. Don't put the pressure of being perfect on yourself. That's not fair. Be realistic about your expectations and be flexible with each other. Understand that maybe you didn't set rules and that maybe one week you miss a date night, but you make up for it. Also, I feel very blessed that I chose a partner who supports me because support is so integral to making a long distance relationship. Moving on to health. So, you're ready to be a mom. It's baby making time, but how can you best prepare your body for the job? Starting a family is a life-changing decision in the best way possible. But as with any milestone, there's much to consider. Ovulation timeline, age, and pre-existing health conditions are all factors that can affect your success in getting pregnant. And for Black women, whose risk of pregnancy-related death is 3 to 4 times higher than white women's, according to the CDC, taking our health seriously is all the more critical. If you're thinking about pregnancy or have already conceived, here are tips on getting your body ready for your new bundle of joy. Number one, start exercising regularly. Getting fit before pregnancy is one simple lifestyle change that will make a world of difference. Strength training prepares the body to carry the weight of the baby during and after pregnancy, says Lauren Buckner. She's the founder of Body by Buckner. Having strong legs and glutes to support you is key. Women trying for a baby should introduce more lower body exercises. Squats are perfect to prepare the hips, legs, glutes, and core. Number two, increase nutrients. A well-balanced diet of fruits, vegetables, lean protein, whole grains, and dairy will promote the normal functioning of your reproductive system, according to the American Pregnancy Association. You are growing a human being that is counting on your body to supply all of the baby's nutritional needs, says Los Angeles-based OBGYN Nita Landry, who travels to treat patients. Number three, take prenatal vitamins. Though we get lots of nutrients from what we eat, vitamin supplements offer additional support to a woman or to a pregnancy and mommy-to-be. Prenatal vitamins are a great idea prior to pregnancy to increase the folic acid levels, which are important for fetal spine development and decreasing the risk of spina bifida, says Atlanta OBGYN Tasha Rogers. Number four, make sure your doctor knows your medical history. Perhaps the most important factor to consider when trying for a baby are any pre-existing conditions that can put your health and the fetus in danger. Black women are at higher risk for pregnancy, comorbidities. Hopefully I said that correctly. And it's pretty much a health issues that could affect pregnancy due to the trickle down effects of racism in all aspects of our country's infrastructure, as well as from our cultural lifestyle, says Andrea Alexander. She's a Houston OBGYN. Uncontrolled medical problems increase the risk of hemorrhage and strokes. So if you have pre-existing conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure or some other type of issue, visit your primary care physician to get it under control before becoming pregnant. And moving on to the culture section, strong African lead. So South African stunner Pearl Thussie is winning hearts and minds as the powerful headliner of Netflix's first original African series. The last several years have seen an influx of African actors breaking ground in the American culture, such as Lupita Nyong'o, Dana Gurira, Digimon Hussain, to name a few. For South African model turned actress Pearl Thussie, who had a stint on the ABC drama Quantico, returning to the continent served a greater purpose. I came back to the States because I had a child and three dogs, and I am passionate about being here and investing in African entertainment. She explains from Johannesburg, where she's been in between filming her new project, Queen Sono, set to launch as Netflix's first original African series. Queen Sono tells the story of an unconventional spy with a mysterious past who works for an undercover South African agency devoted to protecting the people of Africa, and who just might be the superhero of our dreams. The action-packed thriller, and yes, there's a lot of glorious kicking, but was created and produced with an entirely South African cast and an all-African crew. For Thussie, who knows the firsthand that representation matters, the six-part series is also an opportunity to show the world aspects of the Africa she knows. In any given episode, scenes move quickly from Johannesburg to major cities like Nairobi in Kenya and Zanzibar in Tanzania, with each city displaying its own personality in a thriving pan-African narrative. People like to fantasize about African poverty, Thussie says. They think of African tragedy and it's romanticized unbelievably. But because we have control over the narrative, we can show this is not the only thing that's happening in Africa. This is what's happening in the middle class. This is what's happening in our hoods, in our streets, in our townships. This is who we are. We don't all look the same. South Africans, we get to put it out there with this series, and the rest of the world gets to see it. The stunning actress who cut her teeth in pageants back in Durban before launching a career modeling career or launching a global modeling career also understands that the backing of a streaming giant like Netflix will put this show, which premieres February the 28th, in the homes of people in more than 190 countries. Many of them will be introduced to an Africa they may not recognize. What's more, they'll be meeting as a complex African American woman who has emotional breath and soulful death by day and takes down the bad guys by night. This is what an African woman can be, Bessie says. This is what she can look like. This is what she can represent. You can either be excited for me or fear me, because I am coming for everything. So a few of Pearl Thussey's favorite things, from Verna Boyd to Tracy Chapman. I'm listening to my Summertime Sound Apple Music playlist. Her go-to movie when she is feeling down is The Lion King. The snack she can't do without is Häagen-Dazs cookies and cream ice cream. The show she can't stop binging on is The Big Bang Theory. I watch it everywhere. And the books she can't put down is The Power of One by Bryce Courtney and the Bible. So again, you can catch that movie that will be coming out, the series that will be coming out February the 28th. So excited to see that, to show a different side of Africa. And so it looks like that we actually have run out of time. So before I go over another article, let's go ahead and I want to go ahead and wish all of you a happy MLK Day today. So again, we've run out of time for the essence, or for the today's episode of Essence Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, and you have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website at www.ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, you can call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.